From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. I am so persuaded that the Bible teaches a form of Christian capitalism, in other words, responsibility associated with wealth. It doesn't promote the possession of money for the sake of money, but instead encourages us to use money for the sake of the kingdom. A biblical view of wealth, therefore, involves having an eternal perspective to lead your life here below as a responsible steward, whether you have a little or a lot, so that one day at the judgment, God himself will richly reward you. The Christian Research Institute is a vehicle. The vehicle without petrol or gas is impotent. The gas without the vehicle is non-functioning. Both are needed. The vehicle of the Christian Research Institute, by God's grace, is being used to travel not only throughout the West, but throughout the world in making a difference while there's yet time. And that's why we ask you to support this ministry prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, you can also pick up the telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Let's go to the phone lines, take some calls. Tyrone first in South Haven, Mississippi, listening on WCRV. Hi, Tyrone.
How you doing, Mr. Hanegraaff? First of all, I want to thank you for taking my call and thank God for your ministry.
Thank you.
My call was about a Bible to read. You know, we have so many references Bibles out there, the King James, New King James, the NIV, you know, New Living Translation. But I've kind of fallen into reading the NIV version of the Bible, which it's a little more simplistic to me, you know. And sometimes even listen to you, you could be overwhelmed and listen to your words, but you do explain it very well. So I guess my question is am I in the right, area of trying to get the word more? I mean, do we have to be the King James version or?
Yeah, I love the way you phrased the question, Tyrone. I think it's important to realize that there are great Bible translations available to us today, like the New International Version, because as you correctly pointed out, it communicates in the language of our day, what we would call the street language. Secular yes. Koine Greek was the street language at the time of Christ, and it was on a level that people in general could apprehend, and this is the same thing that the NIV has attempted to do. Oftentimes when I preach, I quote from the NIV, but I also like other versions for other purposes. For example, when I was memorizing Proverbs, I use the NASV, and the reason is because it more tends towards what is known as a word-for-word translation as opposed to a thought-for-thought translation, what's known as a formal equivalency as opposed to a dynamic equivalency. Now, you know, there's an argument that could be made that there's no real formal equivalency, but I'm trying to qualify that by saying it tends towards one direction or the other. So Proverbs are pithy, and therefore to have more of a word-for-word translation makes the NASV just perfectly suited for memorizing Proverbs. As far as the King James Version is concerned, think about this, Tyrone. It was commissioned in 1604. It was completed in 1611, and then it went through a lot of different permutations because there were mistakes in the original translations. They weren't significant mistakes, but they were mistakes nonetheless, and that's why it went through some alterations and so forth. But it would likely have remained preeminent among English Bible translations were it not for three principal factors. One is the evolution of language. So what happens is there are words that are denotative in one culture, and then they become connotative. I'll give you an example. In Acts, in the King James Version, it says, "From thence we fetched a compass." Well, what does that really mean? We don't know what that means in our vernacular. We're thinking he went and looked somewhere for a compass and found it and got it. But that's not really what it means. It actually means proceeded in a circular course. So the new translators or the new translations take that into account, and they say from thence he proceeded in a circular course. The second thing is our progress in the knowledge and understanding of the original biblical languages. So there are certain words that were mistranslated in the Old Testament. And now with archaeology, we found what the correct translation should have been. And the third is discovery of earlier and better manuscripts. And these kinds of manuscripts demonstrate conclusively that certain inclusions in the King James Version were unwarranted. There were glosses, there were scribal additions to the text. So those are the three fundamental reasons why the new translations have taken into consideration those things that are available to us today. Obviously, the King James Version is a great translation. It's great for memorization because the language itself is sort of melodic. It's memorable.
Yeah.
But I personally today like the New King James Version. I like the NIV. And I oftentimes consult various translations as I study the Bible.
Okay. That's very good. Okay, one more question
that
I was thinking here, too. And this is what I'm trying to get into. I've been, what you say, like churchy, and kind of now bagged off to that to really get some more embedded in me, really, you know, some the truth. And so I'm trying to look for something that's going to help me more understand without the, like I said, the overlaid of sometimes a lot of dramatics.
Yeah. You know, I wrote a book called Has God Spoken? And that book, I think, would be very helpful on two counts. One is it gives you a way of being able to communicate in a memorable fashion that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. In a day in which the Bible is called into question, I think that's very helpful. But it also deals with an attendant issue. If God has spoken, what has God said? And I think one of the most significant issues in our modern culture is for Christians to be able to understand what the Bible is saying, what God is communicating to us. And that involves the art and science of biblical interpretation. What I've done is I've made that easy to understand. I've made it transferable. So the principles are in your mind. So when you go to the biblical text, it starts to take on a robust beauty for you as well.
Yeah. And I hear you speak of that. And I want that, you know, and I want to be able to understand it more. And, you know, as a true believer, you know, but, you know, you just have to keep working day by day. So.
Well, and in fact, that's beautiful. Exactly right. You have to keep working. I mean, it's always a work in progress. I'm constantly learning. What's beautiful is as you learn, the more you learn, the more you can learn, because you have all these little hooks you can hang information on. So learning is not just arithmetic, but geometric. It's synergistic, and the more you learn, again, the more capacity you have for learning.
I really thank you for the information. And like I said, here again, I thank God for your ministry. And my thing is to be able to give more, you know, because of your work and the work you're trying to do around the world.
Well, bless you so much for your giving and also for your contribution to the broadcast. I love the way you asked your questions. It really allows us to get a glimpse of not only your understanding, but it's helpful for other people.
Yeah. Well, thank you again. You have a great holiday.
You got it, my brother. Back to the phone lines. Miguel in Olathe, Kansas next. Hi, Miguel.
Hello, how you doing, Mr. Answer Man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Thanks to God, I'm doing well. And I got just two questions about the Ten Commandments. Why everybody says the Ten Commandments, Jesus Christ came and did away with it. And the other one is the ones going to heaven.
Yeah.
I cannot find it nowhere where we are going to heaven, because he said the one that comes from heaven is the one that goes back to heaven.
Well, a couple of things I would say about that. First of all, with respect to abolish, I mean, Jesus Christ said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I did not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. In other words, he said, not a jot, the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, not a tittle, a microscopic appendage at the end of a Hebrew letter, will disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So Jesus didn't abolish the law and the prophets. He accomplished, he fulfilled the law and the prophets, which we could never fulfill. In fact, the law and the prophets paint a portrait out of which only Jesus Christ can emerge. As far as heaven is concerned, it is very clear in both the Old Testament and the New that there is an eternal reward for us. If you look at Daniel, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting shame and everlasting contempt. Jesus said the same thing, essentially. He said, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live and some will rise to be eternally condemned. Rising to live is contextualized in Scripture as an opportunity to be in the presence of God forever. So heaven, from a biblical standpoint, is the idea of the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity once again being conjoined as one. So when Jesus appears a second time, the veil between God's habitation and ours will be removed, and God will once again walk, as it were, as he did with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. We will be forever with the one who created us, who knit us together in our mother's womb, and we will learn and grow and develop forever without error. So heaven is a person. Heaven is also a place. It is this universe restored to what it would have been had sin never entered the world. So the Bible is teaching us that we are those who are destined for eternity, either separated from the love and grace of God or forever conjoined to the love and grace of God. I have written a book about that. It's called Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. In studio with me today, Larry Johnston. He is Executive Vice President. He's Chief Advancement Officer for the Christian Research Institute. And over the years, we have worked together towards a goal. And I want to share that goal with you on today's broadcast. It is a vision, not only a vision, but I would say a mandate. Larry, this is something that we feel to be a mandate, not because we have great visions, but we see a move of the Spirit of God, and we want to be part of the move of the Spirit. We want to be moved by the Spirit.
Well, when we talk about mandate, there are a number of branches of the Christian tree who would celebrate and thus recognize Maundy Thursday. Maundy from the Latin meaning, in essence, mandate. That is the essence of the Great Commission. It is not the great suggestion. It is not the great possibility. It is the great mandate. We are called to go forth and make disciples. And what we recognize is that many of the problems in the Western church today stem from a lack of robust disciples. We have in many ways failed to make disciples. In the global South, we are seeing tens of millions of people becoming Christians, but without the resources to be grounded in their faith. CRI's vision is not simply about reaching souls. CRI's vision is millions of equipped Christians transforming our world.
We're talking about reproducing disciple makers. We're called not to make converts, but disciples, and not just disciples, but reproducing disciple makers. And you think about the incredible explosion of Christianity that happens as a result of that. When one person not only comes to faith in Christ, but is discipled, becomes a learner or follower of Jesus Christ, and then is equipped to reach someone else with the love and grace and truth that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. We're asking you to stand with us prayerfully and financially all this month. Join us in a vision that is literally global. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as I continue my discussion with Dr. Larry Johnston.
Have you ever considered that just as a daily dose of the right vitamins can help to ward off illness, so can a daily dosage of truth be the best antidote for error? Or that just like the Ebola virus, error is deadly only when it is ingested? Sadly, far too many seekers and even believers have swallowed the distortions of cults and aberrant teachers only to discover how spiritually deadly these deceptions can be. And just like a wide range of potentially deadly viruses, these deceptions can spread if precautions are not taken. This Christmas, why not promote the health of our nation as well as the church by providing a daily dose of truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast and a host of other outreaches? Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Did you know that 23 of 25 major evangelical denominations are in decline? Or did you know that we're losing millions of evangelicals from the church in the United States? About 2.6 million per decade. And that what's left of a smaller, shrinking church is splintering over politics and a postmodern view of God and the Bible. Sadly, far too many Christians are simply oblivious in their bubbles, or too glued to their smartphones to notice the rising tide of spiritual and cultural decadence that threatens the church. Thankfully, others are receiving their wake-up calls and deciding to make a difference before it's too late. If you want to make a difference, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a year-end gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. This then is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the ultimate self-revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Have you considered in your Christmas shopping list what could be one of the best gifts you'll ever make? If not, consider this. Countless thousands of spiritually hungry, earnest seekers after truth are led astray each day by prosperity preachers, mongers of millennial madness, and New Age gurus, to name only a few. Yet your special Christmas gift today can help provide genuinely biblical truths that set people free. To make a mind-changing and life-changing gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. In studio with Larry Johnston. He's Executive Vice President and Chief Advancement Officer for the Christian Research Institute. And during the break, we were talking about the fact that we live in a very unique time. I mean, I can have breakfast in one city and dinner halfway around the world. So this is a unique time in history, a time that we must resource and catalyze the riches of the Christian Research Institute for the sake of the gospel. We have mass communication technology. Talk about the significance of that for reaching people around the world.
Well, it's still mind-boggling for me to even ponder the notion that in all of the years of the Apostle Paul's travail, his hardships, his bobbing around out in the sea shipwrecked, his being flogged, the years and years and years of his labors, we will touch in the course of this broadcast vastly many more lives in a single broadcast than the Apostle Paul did in his entire life. That's stunning. The strategic issue for CRI as a part of the vision is, how do we harness that media within a relatively short period of time? We're talking about a 10-year strategic plan. How do we, within 10 years, achieve the largest impact apologetically that has ever been seen in the world? Had we been even dreaming that 50 years ago, people would have rightly thought that we had taken leave of our senses. When we look at the media that exists today that did not exist even a few years ago, and quite possibly the media that may exist in a few years that do not exist now, we have the opportunity as Christians to literally, not figuratively, to literally reach the world.
Talk about, for just a few moments, the phrase that Peter uses, we can become partakers of the divine nature. And the reason I think this is appropriate to the discussion right now is you and I have been to China together. We have met with quite a number of people who have been persecuted for their faith, imprisoned, and they say invariably that they are able to deal with the indignities of persecution because they're living the crucified life. They know what it means to be, as Peter said, partakers of the divine nature. So one of the missions of the Christian Research Institute is to resource the world in this area as well, to let people know that the idea of their Christian life is not just buying an insurance policy so that they could go to heaven,
but that they can have an intimacy with Christ and can have the engrafted life of Christ within. So we're trying to communicate that as well. I mean, that's the backdrop. That's what animates everything so that we can do apologetics, so that we can be involved in teaching people biblical literacy, so that we can be involved in the work of countering the cults as people who have died, been crucified to our old life, and now are living the life of Christ.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live yet. And so many Christians will quote this in almost a yada, yada, yada kind of syndrome. They're just, you know, parroting back scripture. They have not really wrestled in depth with the mystery of what Paul is saying. He's pondering deeply this transformational dynamic that is radically changing him as a human being. And as he ponders this, he says, I am crucified in Christ, but even having been crucified, I'm still alive. But it's really not me who's alive. It is Christ in me. It is the exchanged life. I embrace, and I may be a small minority here, if I try to take the essence of Christianity down to a root metaphor or a root dynamic, for me, it is about radical transformation. It is about releasing captives and making them free. It is about giving sight to the blind. It is taking the walking dead and making them alive. It's about taking those who have a pale version of life and ushering them into abundant life. The gospel is so much about transformation, and the reason why I wonder if some Christians have really embraced the real deal is if they claim to be Christians, but there has been no profound transformation, it leaves me scratching my head. Perhaps you've got a pale version of what is the real deal.
You're talking, in essence, about the difference between transactional trivia, where we simply think that the gospel is about a transaction that gets us into heaven, and you're saying there's a whole lot more to it. It's about transformational truth.
Well, it is transformation, not merely in changing us from one state to another state, but from a shadow of the fullness of being into the fullness of being. We have so ghettoized many of our contemporary notions about salvation. We think that salvation is about being rescued. Yes, there is that element. But it is not merely what we have been saved from. It is what we've been saved for. And the Latin root of the word salvation is salus, which has the connotation not of rescue, but of health and wholeness. And you have heard me say before, God did not come to make us better Christians. He came to make us better human beings. That entails releasing the God-given potential for human flourishing.
All of this is spoken within a context of, we might say, deep desperation. Not desperation in the sense that we don't think renaissance is possible. You see what God has done through the move of His Spirit, and you magnify God, you glorify God, you recognize the power and the abundance, the resources that are available because we are those who are sons and daughters of the King. But we live in a desperate situation when we look at where the culture is. I think many people seem to be anesthetized or blind to what is happening in government, in church, and even in the redefinition of marriage.
Well, and so frequently Jesus talks about watch and pray, about being watchful. I think a problem with a great many Christians today is that they're praying, but they're not watching. They're on autopilot. And in the Greek, the word for watch, one of the words for watch, is nepsis.
Nepsis is about a state of continuous alertness and sobriety and focus on what is most important. And if we unconsciously disconnect or decouple praying from watching, we've only got half the formula. We are called to be very, very sober. And in this age and in this season of life on our planet, where we have hundreds of millions of people who have not yet discovered abundant life, and we have at our disposal the communications vehicles in very brief periods of time to touch hundreds of millions of those lives, that to me is what stewardship is about. When I hear someone talking about stewardship as though it's just giving, my response is, sorry, sport, but you don't get it. Stewardship certainly involves giving, but for me, stewardship is really about the use, the prudent, strategic use of God-given resources to achieve God-ordained ends or purposes.
You think about World War II, where people were asleep. They were in their churches, they had their altars, they had their churches, they had their Bibles, but they were at ease while there was an apocalyptic tsunami approaching, the Nazi war machine. In many ways, I think that part of history is being repeated in the present.
Well, for anyone who is sober and paying attention, the storm clouds are gathering. And we've known each other for 35 years plus. You know that I'm not a the sky is falling type. But I think there are signs of both extraordinary danger as well as extraordinary opportunity that if we are so encapsulated in our own little bubbles, in our own little cocoons, that we're praying, but we're not watching, I think there are going to be some very, very painful days ahead.
God has provided the Christian Research Institute with enormous resources from the standpoint of equipping God's people. He's also provided us with a national and international listening audience, and in that way provided us with people who can stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry at this time, this epic in history. And so we're asking you to do just that, stand shoulder to shoulder with this ministry. December is a critical month. It is a time in which people are predisposed to give because they're remembering the greatest gift of all. And so we're asking you to be generous as you give this month to the work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. We'll talk a little more about that later on in the broadcast. But again, give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or just write me and give your best gift at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. When you go to the web at equip.org, you can see some of the resources that I've written, including Incarnation, Has God Spoken, the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, the Creation Answer Book, Flip Charts. Be pleased to personalize any one of those resources to you, a family member, or a friend, as my way of saying thank you for becoming a monthly Bible Answer Man support team. No better time to do that than in the month of December. So if you can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, it would be deeply appreciated. It would turbocharge the ministry as we are making a difference while there's yet time. Again, the equip.org website, best place to go right now as you give. We'll be right back.
A recent Facebook post strongly encouraged Hank to keep telling the truth. Why? Because the writer knew all too well the devastating consequences of bad theology. You see, John spent years in a well-known cult and family that discouraged his pursuit of education. Their church taught that Christ was going to return soon, so what was the use of pursuing an education you would never have a chance to use?
What's more, John never married because he believed that taking a wife and having children would not be wise in the end times. Now much older and wiser, he looks back with deep regret on a life that could have been dramatically different had he only been taught the truth. This Christmas, to help others avoid the very real disasters that often accompany bad theology, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back right after this. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. As we look forward to the Advent and the Christmas season, perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. A humorous definition of a conservative is someone who sits and thinks, but mainly sits. With that definition in mind, could the greatest threat to today's church be that many of us mainly sit and don't think? If history is any lesson, the failure to both think and act during times of crisis can be downright dangerous. And for Christians today, increasingly battered by the gale force winds of militant secularism, the need is to think Christianly and act courageously. Faced with these challenges, will you be a conformer or a transformer? Will you be the object of worldly change or an agent of change for the King of Kings? To go on record as an agent of change, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a special year-end gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Christians agree that life and truth are important. But have you considered how the absence of truth can actually ruin lives? How distortions of truth can lead people to make tragic decisions affecting not only their lives, but also the lives of others? This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way and the truth and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a Christmas gift that can transform lives, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. More than a century ago, the Dutch Abraham Kuyper said, when principles that run against your deepest convictions begin to win the day, then battle is your calling.
peace has become sin. You must, at the price of dearest peace, lay your convictions bare before friend and foe alike with all the fire of your faith. And I particularly love that last clause, with all the fire of your faith. And indeed, principles that militate against our deepest convictions as Christians are beginning to win the day. The way in putting that in memorable form is to say that so often people are willing to do for a lie what Christians are not willing to do for the truth. And there is a sense, Larry, that we are calling people to arms. And to use that military metaphor, when we go into foreign countries with the gospel, equipping them in the area of apologetics and biblical literacy and countering the cults, we don't go as an occupying force, but we do go as military advisors, and we do go, as you like to say, as arms dealers, because we want to supply those who are doing the work of ministry with the ammunition that they need.
Yes, to stick with a military metaphor, one of my favorites is C.S. Lewis's from Mere Christianity, when he says, thinking about the very, very dark places of our world, he said, enemy-occupied territory, that is what the world is. And Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed in disguise and is calling us all to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. When we look at the darkness of much of the world, recognizing its enemy-occupied territory, I think CRI is very much about equipping sanctified saboteurs, people who, with the right knowledge, the right understanding, the right tools, can go into some of these areas. And again, not being invading, occupying armies, but being, as you suggested, military advisors, vastly too costly, as we've learned as a nation, to occupy Iraq. Very, very costly. How much better, rather than underwriting the cost of the occupying armies, to simply be the military advisors and to provide, supply the arms, of which CRI has more than 55 years of armaments.
In that light, talk about our mission first, and then we'll talk about vision and a big, holy, audacious goal that God has given us to catalyze and resource the largest apologetics initiative in history.
Well, it continues to be very unfortunate that even in the management literature and organizational literature, where forests of paper and oceans of ink have been consumed writing about mission and vision, that the terms are still used interchangeably by many people, and they're not used interchangeably at CRI. Mission is primarily a statement of purpose. It answers the why question. Why is CRI here? Why are we in business? CRI's mission is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. As I interpret that, that includes being fruitful, which includes transformation. If mission is a statement of purpose, if it answers the why question, why is CRI here? Vision is a statement of destination or direction. It answers the question, where is it that CRI is headed? CRI's vision is millions, not hyperbolically, not figuratively, literally, millions of equipped Christians transforming their world. If there was ever a time for kingdom agents of change or for sanctified saboteurs, now is the hour. Now, now, now.
Let's go to the phone lines, take a call. Danny in Lady Lake, Florida. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. My question is, I want to know if you're aware of this cult that's in the Philippines. It's called Iglesia Ni Cristo. I've met quite a people who are sort of trapped up in this thing, and I want to see if you know about it, if you could put some information out on it.
Well, we do have information on it. This is a movement that was founded by Felix Manello, and he joined the Methodist Church back in the early 1900s. Then he converted to Seventh-day Adventism. He was excommunicated for immorality, and then he started his own church, registered with the Philippine government back in 1914, first day of World War I, by the way. And by 1945, the church had 40,000 members in the Philippines. Today, it's the largest Protestant religion in the Philippines. Here's the problem. They deny the essentials of the historic Christian faith. They deny the Trinity. The Bible is interpreted by God's messenger, which is the founder of Iglesia Ni Cristo. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They also deny many other of the essentials of the historic Christian faith. In fact, virtually all of the essentials that I've codified in my acronym, Doctrine. We have a flip chart, Doctrine, and Doctrine codifies the essentials of the Christian faith. So this is a full-blown cult. And I guess a great example of what Larry and I are talking about when we're talking about people who are willing to do for a lie what Christians are not willing to do for the truth. Here's a group of people that have become so large and influential in the Philippines in the interest of cultism, as opposed to in the interest of true Christianity.
Yeah, I've been trying to share the truth about that church with some people that I met online, and I don't know how to get through to them. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what you can do is do precisely what you are doing, and that is to be equipped. You can't change anybody's heart. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But what you can do is understand the deviations and then use those deviations as springboards or opportunities to share the gospel. The truth of the matter is, Satan packages and repackages the lie in so many different ways that it's hard to keep up with. And that's why we want to be familiar with the real. So when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, we know it instantaneously. Larry, there's kind of an analogy with money when it comes to counterfeit and real. People can't handle all the counterfeits, but they can become very familiar with the real.
They can, and I think the more closely we truly grasp the real, the more we understand the implications of the real, which means taking the United States for today and the conditions of decadence that we're facing. When I see people who are apparently doing nothing in response to the realities of our nation today, a reasonable inference for me is they don't get it. When I see Christians in the West who are aware of the fact that there are tens of millions of people becoming Christians in the global South, but are doing nothing to equip them, I have to infer they don't get it. One troubling conclusion might be they do get it, but they don't care. I'm not quite that much of a skeptic, but I think a part of CRI is so ringing the bell, so sounding the alarm, as it were, that people are awake and responding to the realities that are beckoning for change agents.
I have to humbly say, in some ways, I didn't get it. I mean, when I was training missionaries in Chiang Mai, I had no concept of what is really happening in the Global South. And when you talk about the Global South, you're talking about Asia, and you're talking about South America, you're talking about Oceania, you're talking about Sub-Saharan Africa, where the gospel is going out, people are coming to faith in Christ, but they don't get grounded. And I had no sense of how many cult organizations are there waiting to pick off the new converts, as it were. And when I started realizing that and the resources that we have at the Christian Research Institute that these missionaries are desperate for, it was the
passion arising within me to say, I've got to come back on radio and tell people to stand with this ministry shoulder to shoulder, because we have to equip the missionaries with the resources we have. They have to be translated into languages like Mandarin. There are over a billion Mandarin speakers that need our resources in their language. So we have initiated a global initiative for that reason.
Well, and a part of that global initiative is focusing on the megacities of our world, megacities defined as those cities with populations of at least 10 million or more. And it's sobering to note that in some of these cities would have populations many times greater than states within the United States. Those are targets that warrant our concentration, because through the power of media focused on a single area, we could reach more people in a year than were reached in the first 1,000 years of Christianity. That is staggering to contemplate, and woe unto us if we do not seize those opportunities.
The needs all around the world. I mean, you think about Japan, 0.02% in terms of Christianity, a fraction of 1% are Christians. It's a first world country, 125 million people, an aging population, and virtually unreached. Hard to believe that that could be true in the 21st century. We have the resources to make a difference. We're asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially as we head into the year 2015. December, an important month. If you can support this ministry, stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You can give on the web, again, in a safe, secure fashion, that address on the web, equip.org, or you can simply write me and say, I want to stand shoulder to shoulder with you and the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and its outreaches in the battle for life and truth. That address, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, you can do the same thing via the phone. You can talk to one of our resource consultants. Simply pick up the telephone, dial 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Again, there is an ontological imperative, an imperative that flows from deep within our being to say God has now given us the capability, the capacity. What we need is the resources. We want to meet the need. We're asking you to stand with us. Again, you can be one of those that makes a difference, not just for time, but also for eternity. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, we look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Did you know that 23 of 25 major evangelical denominations are in decline? Or did you know that we're losing millions of evangelicals from the church in the United States? About 2.6 million per decade. And that what's left of a smaller, shrinking church is splintering over politics and a postmodern view of God and the Bible. Sadly, far too many Christians are simply oblivious in their bubbles, or too glued to their smartphones to notice the rising tide of spiritual and cultural decadence that threatens the church. Thankfully, others are receiving their wake-up calls and deciding to make a difference before it's too late. If you want to make a difference, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a year-end gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. This then is the climax of divine revelation.
God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.